Hello and welcome to Leading Words. Words that God Himself separated and placed in the Holy Scriptures to ensure that you may receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Christ Himself parsed and said they are life and spirit. We call them leading words because they will lead you to everlasting life. And these words came from God Himself. Welcome again, and God bless you richly. Well, as you see, the fall season is in full bloom right now, and it's kind of a chilly around here, and we are getting ready to prepare for even the winter season. And having said that, I want you to know that God has a word for every season of your life. And today I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you have a Bible, in the book of Luke, St. Luke Gospel, chapter 13. Luke Gospel, chapter 13. And I'm going to read the first five verses in St. Luke Gospel, beginning from verse 1. Luke chapter 13, beginning from verse 1 through 5. Today the topic is a very simple topic. But as I said, the seasons are changing. And in every season, God sometimes has to pause us to bring to our attention the importance of keeping a steady and firm relationship with Him. And for that to happen, at times God needs to stop us, detain us in our movements, in our everyday activities. He needs to stop us sometime and force us to reflect on ourselves and make sure that our faith and our connections and fellowship with God is in right position or in proper perspective. And for that, He makes a call every season. He makes the call again and again for repentance. For repentance. In Mark chapter 2, when Jesus began His ministry, even from chapter 1, but Mark chapter 2 is very clear about it. When He began His ministry in Capernaum, the scripture says that the first message or sermon that He began to preach about was, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Therefore, repent." So repentance has always been in the forefront of God's relationship with man. You can't have a relationship with Him unless repentance is in the forefront. But every now and then we forget about it, and we think that one time repentance is enough for the rest of our lives. And it doesn't work like that. Periodically, matter of fact, daily, we should pause and have a moment of reflection and repentance and beg God to keep the relationship that we have with Him in proper fellowship. So I want you to open your Bibles, if you have one. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. It really says, "They were present at that time," or that season, you see the word, "some that told Him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that those Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Then he continued, he said, "Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Except you repent. Jesus Christ on his tour, and I call it a tour, because early in his ministry, he's going from town to town to town, different towns, preaching the gospel of the newness of salvation for mankind. He started out, Matthew says, with the Beatitudes, speaking about blessed are the poor in spirit because they shall see God, or blessed are of these, or blessed and blessed, etc., etc. Well, in that same premise, in that same environment, Jesus now is speaking to a large company of people. And the only one that is making emphasis on this event here is Saint Luke. Luke is writing, and I think Luke is trying to tell us something even more than what the other writers will really love to tell us. We have a saying, in our vernacular today, we have this saying that God don't like ugly, and we use that expression a lot, especially when somebody does something that is wrong, and then immediately after they do something that is wrong, a wrong befalls them, you know, and as we see it, we say, that's good. God don't like ugly. Because we have this concept that evil comes because of evil that we do. And we feel like anytime we do something wrong, God will send something wrong to be done to us. And I tell you the truth, that's not a biblical concept. That's not true. If that was true, or that kind of stuff were true, none of us would have been alive, because we have done so many wrongs. And if for each time we do something that is wrong, God will send something wrong to happen to us, we will have been annihilated a long time. We will have been wiped out. But it's not true. God don't send evil for each time we do evil. It doesn't happen like that. But we have this saying, it's a part of our vernacular, it's a part of our saying every day, God don't like ugly. So for instance, if you send your child to wash the dishes or to make up their room, and they storm out of your presence and slam the door, and immediately as they do that, you hear a tumbling in their room, they fell down and something fell and bumped their head. Immediately you say, that's good. God don't like ugly. You see that? We say it all the time. The only problem with that saying is that we live it out and make it a reality in our lives when it's concerning the other person. Anytime the other person does something wrong, we say, God don't like ugly. God don't like ugly, because it's on the other hand. But when it's towards us now, when we do wrong, when we hurt somebody, or when we speak wrong about somebody, or slander another person, or we just do evil against somebody that doesn't deserve our actions, and then something wrong happens to us, we don't say a thing. We keep it in, and we swallow. As if God only likes ugly when it's referring to the other person, but never when it's referring to us. You see that? And Jesus came to disprove that. Jesus said to the disciples and to the crowd that were listening to him that there was something that happened in the city of Jerusalem. And what had happened is that the Galileans, these guys that live up north, most of them are very poor people. These Galileans, the majority of them are fishermen. They live off fishing industry. Well, they were protesting all of the time. But the government wouldn't listen to the Galileans, and mostly the Roman government wouldn't even care for those Galileans, because most of the Galilean folks, they were illiterate, couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't speak properly, and they're always complaining. But these are people that were disenfranchised, you know, people that were partialized because of their poverty. They lived segregated, they pushed them in a corner. Most of these Galileans, that's the way they were. Well, now guess what? In a protest, many of these Galileans decided to come down to Jerusalem and to express their dissatisfaction with the sitting government, and express their dissatisfaction even with the high priests and with the religious machinery of those days. Pilate, according to the historian Josephus, says that Pilate, who was like the procurator in Jerusalem, the prefect, the man that should keep the order in the city, he heard that these troublemakers or these protesters were coming, and that they were going to have an open protest against the government of Rome and against the sitting religious government of the Jews. So he set up an ambush for them. And what is the ambush that he set up for them? He gave his soldiers orders that all soldiers should come with their little dagger, you know, their little side knife, and that they should cover themselves with a cloak, white cloak, and that they should mingle themselves within the group of congregation of people that are coming to make sacrifice in Jerusalem. And that at that given moment, when the signal is given, these soldiers that are disguised in civilian and have the cloak, they should pull from under their garments this knife, and they should stab to death all these Galileans that are coming for protest. So according to Josephus, the historian, Jewish historian, Josephus said that these Galileans came and they presented their sacrifices like everybody else. They went to the temple, made their sacrifices, you know, presented their sacrifices. And while the sacrifice was being presented and the priest was killing and slaughtering all these animals, the blood of these animals, you see, the priest will capture some of the blood and separate it for the altar. But the majority of this blood will go down to the base of the altar and run down the gutters that are specially made at the base of the altar, where you throw the excess blood from the animal, and this gutter will run down until it goes down into the dirt. Well, they were slaughtering these animals. The priest will take out some of the blood for the altar, and the excess blood, throw it away, and it will run down the base of the altar into the gutters, and that gutter will go down to its disposal section in the dirt. Many of the Galileans and lots of people are out there standing in this moment of slaughter. And while the moment of prayer and slaughter is going on, the soldiers that are disguised, they got the signal, pull out the dagger, and they all begin now to stab and kill all these Galileans to avoid them from voicing their protest and to avoid them from stirring up and creating a tumult in the whole city. So what happened? They killed a whole bunch of Galileans, and their blood now the Galileans' blood, drained and run down and fell into the same gutter where the excess blood of the sacrifice was being drained out. So what you have the blood of animals of the sacrifice being drained into that gutter, and then you have the blood of all these people, Galileans, protesters, their blood also run down, so much blood, and their blood fell into the same gutter. So now you have two blood running in this gutter. The blood of these Galilean men and the blood of the sacrifice, and the blood mix or mingle and run down into its disposal place. When the Jews saw that, immediately they reacted and they said, aha, you see, God don't like ugly. Why? Because they felt that these Galileans were protesting something that was unnecessary. And they're always protesting and always protesting, and they really came were to stir up trouble. And since they came to do wrong, wrong happened to them. Look, they got ambushed and their blood got mingled with the blood of the sacrifice. And they all began to say, good, it served them good, because God don't like ugly. So Jesus now said to them, Jesus used the example and said to the rest of the people, so you think that this happened to those Galileans because they were the worst sinners, because they did bad, this bad befall them. So you think that they got this coming to them, or it came to them because they were bad people, and now God don't like ugly, so God allowed this to happen to them. So Jesus said, so you think this happened because they were so bad, they were the worst of people. Now look at Jesus' expression. Jesus said, well, I tell you, no. He said, nay. Except you repent. And now he's speaking to the rest of the people. He said, except all of you around here repent of your sin, evil like this will happen to you also. So what is he trying to say to you? He's trying to tell you that there is a time in life when it makes no difference what you do, how you did it or how you didn't do it, and it makes no difference how God is watching your conditions. There is a time in life when God is calling every person to come to repentance. There is a moment in life, regardless of successes or regardless of defeats, there is a moment in life when you have to stop and repent. And Jesus made it clear. He said, except you repent, you're going to have the same type of results that these people have. Except you repent, you shall perish likewise. Except you repent, there is a sudden destruction that is awaiting you like it awaits them. And what is he trying to say also? That the destruction is coming, whether you do bad or not. Except you repent. Wait a minute, but if I haven't done anything wrong, why should I repent? That's the issue. The issue is that you don't need to repent because you do wrong. You need to repent because you are a wrongdoer. People think that they need to repent because they commit a sin. No, they need to repent because they are sinners. They were born shaping sin. Your nature is one of sinfulness. You are a sinner, not because you sin. You are a sinner because you were created, you were born in sin. You inherit this sinful nature from your parents, from your forefathers. You inherit it. And that's why you keep sinning. And that's why he's saying, except you repent, the same type of destruction is coming for everybody. So who should repent? Only the people that do wrong? No. Everybody should repent. Those that do wrong, repent. And if you've never done anything wrong, you still need to repent. Why? Because of your sinful nature. You were born in this sinfulness. You are a sinner by nature. And he said, you need to reflect and repent. You need to turn and beg God to help you. Why? Because you cannot help yourself. These guys committed a sin and evil befall them. You are a sinner just like everybody else. And evil will always befall you because of your sinful condition. What's the solution? Repent. What is this word repent? What does it mean? It means two things. And the Jews understood that. It means to turn, and then it means to burn. Turn and burn. Turn and burn. The Greeks use the word metanosis. Metanosis. And meta means to turn or to change. You see? Metanosis, your mind. Change your mind. It means to turn. Because when you change your mind, you change your direction. Your plan was to run in that direction and do something wrong. But now you reflect upon it and you change your mind. So instead of going and do wrong in that direction, now you change your mind. Now I'm changing my direction. And that's all God is asking of us. He said the seasons are changing. Times are changing. But in the midst of it, don't you get caught up and get neglectful and disregard the most important thing in your life. And that most important thing in your life is repentance. And sometimes we feel so self-righteous, like we never done anything wrong. Oh yes, we do. We are just sinners in the hands, as one theologian put it, sinners in the hands of a angry God. And all this God is asking us to do is to repent of our sins. So today I'd like to invite you, as we are changing seasons, as we are going into the fall, as we are getting into this new season of life, I would like to invite you to beg God to forgive you of your sins and repent of your sins. It means turn from it. And after you turn from it, don't leave it, burn it, trash it, destroy it. Tell God, get it out of my life. And make out of me a new and a better person. And remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon. The end of all of this, it might be closer than you believe, or that you might even consider. But I want you to know that there is a way to be right with God, and that way is to repent. So today, take some time and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Repent. Turn from some of these things and turn back to Him, and He will make out of your life a great person for God and for the kingdom. That repentance is done through Jesus Christ. God bless you. Until we meet again, ask God through Christ to come into your life and to turn your life and make you a great person for His kingdom. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you.